The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NASCAR has done away with the Confederate flag, something that NASCAR has the right to do, and that NASCAR was right to do. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up on today's show, Major League Baseball is in a standoff. As I mentioned yesterday, it reminds me of that scene in Bad Santa between Billy Bob Thornton, his partner, and Bernie Mac, negotiating over who will get what percentage of a robbery. Right now, between Major League Baseball and its players, the two sides aren't budging. It's going nowhere fast. We'll bring you up to date on that a little bit later in the show. Plus, we're going to play a game of butthurt. We might as well. Every day this week, every day over the last 2 weeks, we've been dancing around, or better yet, barreling straight into sensitive subjects. So let us all here on the show, Mike A., Bubba, Pat, Nuno, and myself, see who is most likely to get butthurt in various situations. But we start with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It is the news of the day. We broke it to you yesterday here on the Will Cain Show, and it is dominating airwaves from sports to news media. NASCAR has forbid the flying of the Confederate flag at its racetracks across this country. Bubba Wallace, the only black driver on the NASCAR series, was one of the leading advocates for NASCAR to do away with the Confederate flag. And he said on Good Morning America this morning, it may cost them some fans, but so be it. Listen.
This is so much more than about ourselves. This is about our brothers and our sisters that are suffering through a lot. And you look at the Confederate flag and how, yes, it may mean heritage to most, but to a group that is in a lot of pain right now, the African-American community is in a lot of pain, that's a symbol of hate. And it brings back so many bad memories, signs of oppression from way back when. And it just, there's no good that comes with that flag. And that's the message we're kind of trying to get across. It's not about you. It's about a group of people that we are trying to bring together and make this world a better place for.
NASCAR has the right to ban the Confederate flag at its races, and I think NASCAR is right to do so. Let me tell you why. Let's take those one at a time. First of all, NASCAR has the right, as a private business, to control the message it wants to put out to its customers. Look, I believe in consistency. I believe in principles. This is the same conversation we had when it came to Kaepernick and the NFL. If the NFL doesn't want its players kneeling during the national anthem, as it has indicated in the past, we'll see what its position will be going forward. Well, the NFL has a right to control the message that its business puts forward. The analogy that I always have used is, let's say you're a massive President Trump fan. That doesn't mean you can wear a MAGA hat while you work the checkout counter at Kroger's. No, you're on the employer's dime. That is his time. And you can believe what you want to believe, but you will do that on your time, on your dime. If NASCAR does not want the Confederate flag flown at its events, it has the right to do so. Just like the NFL has the right to say what it wants to happen at its game on Sundays. What more, I believe that NASCAR was right to do this. And I think Bubba Wallace laid it out very well. To me, this is about empathy. Now, that is the term du jour. That's what you're going to hear any dozen of analysts on ESPN or any other network talk about these days. And it's become such a buzzword that I think most of the time you hear it now, you feel like somebody is saying it almost vacantly. It's a word they've learned to parrot. But what I mean is, I arrive at this through this analysis. You know, if I think of the two moments in my history at ESPN where I have drawn the most ire, where people got the most upset with me, or at least two of the top three moments of my time here at ESPN, one of them would involve the Confederate flag. I made the point on First Take in response to Max Kellerman saying anyone who flies that Confederate flag is either stupid or a racist, that he doesn't know all of those people. He can't speak to their character nor their intelligence. And that I have known people in my life who neither fit either of those criteria. That doesn't make them right to fly that flag. But what it means is somebody like Max Kellerman doesn't have the ability to define them for doing so. Are there racists who fly the Confederate flag? Absolutely. Are there stupid people that fly the Confederate flag? There are stupid people in every walk of life. But that doesn't mean we can't be empathetic for the way that others see this flag. Bubba Wallace said the exact same thing I did on First Take. I could play that cut again, and you would hear my words from several years ago echoed in Bubba Wallace's words. He said he knows there are some that see something different in that flag. But for African Americans in this country and others, that flag has come to symbolize something much more nefarious. And our sense of empathy for others at that point, I think, becomes important. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't take this concept of empathy and run wild with it. You don't adopt the ridiculous mindset that if something offends one person, then you have to bend to that sentimentality. I look across this nation right now, and I think, what are we tearing down next? If you look what's going on a daily basis, almost on an hourly basis, you will see something else being torn down. A monument here, a statue there. And don't think they are simply Confederate monuments. Don't think they are just testaments to a generally held racist past. No, there's much more going on. I told you yesterday, we have moved in a matter of hours from Gone with the Wind should not be on HBO Max to Cops is canceled to Live PD is done to questions about whether or not Paw Patrol is an appropriate thing to be aired in the United States of America. There's a guy that writes for the New York Times Magazine. His name is Thomas Chatterton Williams. He's a black man, and I thought he tweeted something fascinating this morning. He tweeted the following: what we're seeing happen everywhere at warp speed is not merely a push for equity, but a push for dominance, punishment, and more than that, seizure. New rules are being written and rewritten on the spot. He then goes on and talks about a current form of mob justice coming for J.K. Rowling and her thoughts on transgenderism. But he says at the very end, separate from this one particular issue, the takeover is coming not just for your institutions or your body, but for your work and your very ideas. You will get on board, or you will be asked, with increasing authority and decreasing patience, to relinquish your own work for the common good. I'm astonished at the pace of this, writes Thomas Chatterton Williams. Where does it go next? I don't know. I didn't think it would go to Paw Patrol. I do know that on CNN last night, a prominent voice on that network suggested Thomas Jefferson and George Washington are what's next. Statues for some of the founding fathers of America because they owned slaves. So, we do not let one person's interpretation of the country or one person's empathy or one person's sentimentality drive our actions, but we can pay attention to the way something strikes a great many. And when it came to the Confederate flag, we have to recognize that for so many, not irrationally, not simply out of emotion, but very reasonably, that flag for many has come to mean something ugly. Even if there are those out there who believes it means something else, we can listen to the words of Bubba Wallace, who I think very accurately said, for too many, that particular flag has come to mean something ugly. And for that, we can say not only does NASCAR have a right to say that flag will not be flown at its races, but that NASCAR is right to do so. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I'm interested in hearing back from you, 888-729-3776. I have some voices on ESPN who've had some very interesting things to say about NASCAR's decision. Plus, let's get into this almost comical negotiation between the Major League Baseball Players Association and its owners. You just helped me decide which side is Bernie Mac in the Bad Santa negotiation. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Major League Baseball negotiations have turned into an absolute joke. A comedy, if you will. In fact, I'll show you exactly which comedy it's turned into. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. But I want to go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to hear from you for a moment. Let's start with Rex in Texas. What's up, Rex?
Hey, Will. Thanks for taking my call. I want to make a statement and then ask a question. It seems like everyone is being asked to pass these purity tests. And if the statement doesn't go far enough or say exactly the right thing, then you're canceled. Dabo Swinney is Exhibit A on that, because you haven't said enough or you haven't said exactly the right thing. The problem is some of the people that are shouting the loudest do not pass that same purity test themselves. LeBron James, for instance, just a few months ago at the beginning of this NBA season, shouted down Daryl Morey when Daryl Morey supported the protest in China. LeBron James said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You need to educate yourself. You're damaging my interest." So I find that very interesting. The question I want to pose to you is this. Do we take all these statements as sincere, or has this just become the next ice bucket challenge?
Rex, I think that's a very fascinating question. Obviously, I think this is a much more serious issue than simply taking the ice bucket challenge, which raised money for charity and was a very good cause. But I think your analogy serves a purpose. No, I don't think everybody's being sincere. And I generally believe the more you want to shout from the rooftops about your virtue, the more fraudulent you actually are. And that's not just some knee-jerk reaction of mine. I'm going to tell you from personal experience. I've just seen it. Look, man, I am from a small town in Texas. I've been around, man. I say that somewhat jokingly, but look, I've lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in Montana. I've lived in small towns in Texas. I've lived outside of Missoula. I've lived in New York City on the Upper West Side. And I want to tell you something. The people that pride themselves on being the most racially enlightened are some of the most secluded and segregated people you have ever seen in your life. Happy to tell you about their virtues, but never travel north of 110th Street. Do I think it's a very popular thing to say and do right now? Yes. Do I think their sincerity should be questioned? I absolutely do. You know, as long as we're talking about times where I have been unpopular, I mentioned that take, really the same take that Bubba Wallace had, that I gave on First Take a few years ago was one of them. But the other actually tied into the moment as well. It dealt with tearing down statues. I said on First Take to Stephen A. and Max as well that this moment of tearing down a statue of Kate Smith, do you remember this moment? Kate Smith was a 1930s singer, and she had something to do with the Philadelphia Flyers, and so a statue was erected. I believe she always sang the national anthem for years for that franchise. Later it was revealed she sang some racist songs back in the 1930s or 40s, and as such, there was a movement, a successful one, to tear down her statue. And I said to Stephen A. and Max two things at that time. I said, number one, you're really flattening history. I'm not here to defend Kate Smith, but what I'm here to say is if you go back in history far enough, you're going to find not just flaws, but deep flaws in not just historical figures, but great historical figures. And if that leads you to the conclusion that George Washington's monument needs to be torn down, and oh, there are people saying that, I would suggest you're not taking things into their proper context. And that's what I said secondarily on Kate Smith. This was a person who had some virtues in her life as well. Set aside the fact she was a woman in the 1930s and had very little volition over what lyrics she sang. She was done, as they did in the 1930s, whatever the music producer told her to do. But she also raised millions of dollars in war bonds to help the United States defeat the fascist Nazis in World War II. And so when we're doing this thing of destruction, we just might try to think a little more complicated and nuanced and not so flat. And maybe we'll realize in that process, we're not taking the ice bucket challenge if we put that kind of thought into it. We're not doing it because it's popular. We're not doing it because it's about me and my social media post. We're doing it because we came at something rationally, reasonably. NASCAR's moment did come in a moment where it is fashionable to do this, but I do think NASCAR's choice is reasonable and rational and empathetic and the right choice. Spencer from Missouri, you're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will, really big fan. I really hope you have a way for us to hold you accountable about all the terrible Cowboys takes you've given over the last year after you're gone. Anyway, I'm totally with you. I hate how our society doesn't judge individuals. Instead, we lump everybody into groups. Honestly, I hate the two-party political system. I think that has facilitated so much of this groupthink and, you know, everybody on one side just, you know, if you vote red or blue, the opposite of what you vote, the other person obviously is immoral. Sorry, that wasn't very well said. Anyway, I won the lottery. I'm a white male growing up in mid Missouri in America in 2020. I would rather be here than anywhere else. And that only matters where I'm from because I've met a ton of kids and adults throughout my life that have Confederate flag bumper stickers, flags on their front. And man, even if they seem like nice people, every single one of them has some racial problem. I don't want to say they're racist, but they're just very intolerant. I'm just going to say it. They're racist. All of them are. And so when you say that, you know, people who take pride in that flag, but are not stupid and not racist, that's just really hard for me to believe. And
all right.
I wish you would elaborate a little bit on that. Thanks, Will. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Spencer. By the way, you're not the only caller on the line right now who wants to make the same point. The one that suggests anyone who would fly that flag is either racist or stupid. My response to you would be twofold. No, let's make it threefold. Number one, it's not a hill I want to die on. It's not a fight that I feel passionately about on its face. I'm not here to say, hey, it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay. I would not fly the flag. Largely because of what I described earlier about NASCAR's decision. Because you have to make a choice to be empathetic. I don't want to fly something that I know hurts people that I care about. Even if I had found something different in that flag and weren't doing it for that reason, I would not want to be that person in somebody else's life. But I also don't want to be the person that constantly impugns everybody else's motives and only bases it on the lowest of common denominators. You yourself said it, Spencer. We divide ourselves into red and blue or whatever tribe we want to be a part of and ascribe the other tribe's motives to stupidity or evil. And I don't want to do that. And by the way, I heard Marty Smith on First Take this morning say this, and it's true. Look, I grew up, I saw that flag. Not everybody who had that flag was someone who describes or fits the description you're giving. I saw that flag on the rooftop of the General Lee in Dukes of Hazzard, and it had no racial relationship to any kid watching that show. The only point there is don't always take the easy road. You can be right and you and I are on the same side on this flag, without having to ascribe the people that are wrong on it to stupidity or evil. You don't have to always take those that disagree with you and lump them all into the basket of deplorables you'd like to believe they are. They can also be wrong. To be clear, there are racists who fly that flag. To be clear, there are stupid people who fly that flag. To be clear, we're talking about whether everyone is. I don't think this is the fight to have. It's not the hill I want to die on. It is the call that has come in. We are in the same place on the end. NASCAR made the right decision out of empathy and understanding for the way it affects other people. The same kind of decision I would make as an individual should the t-shirt or the flag be presented to me and an opportunity to wear or show it were presented to me. On this situation, empathy and understanding should win the day. Talk to Damian Woody coming up here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Who on the show is most likely to get butthurt? About what, you ask? We're going to find out in about 15 minutes here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. But joining us now on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line, Pinzo synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pinzo oil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30 is ESPN football analyst Damian Woody. What's up, Damian?
Will, what's going on, my man?
Let's lighten it up, bud. I've just been 30 minutes talking about NASCAR, the Confederate flag, and everything going on in society. And I will come back to that with you because I know you are a man of many thoughts on these things. But first, let's lighten it up. I want to ask you two sports questions, at least, that have sort of been ongoing here on the Will Cain Show, and I don't think I've ever asked you. Number one, college football. You went to Boston College. You're from Virginia. Why do you think there is no big time, and I don't mean to insult you here, but no big time Division I college football program in the Northeast? There's a recruiting base, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, big at football. Penn State is good, but I mean, if we carve out Penn State, New Jersey, New York, New England, I mean, there is nobody, like, even on the same par as obviously SEC schools, but even Big 12 and some of your best Pac-12 schools. How is it one region of the country could be so devoid of one consistent power?
I think a couple things play into that. Number one, I think weather. And I know you could say, you know, you could talk about the big, you know, the Big Ten. They have their weather issues, but I think weather plays a part in it. Number two, I think when you look at facilities, you know, when you talk about Boston College, Syracuse, you know, schools like that, although BC has upgraded, you know, has a new field house and things like that, I mean, we're still behind the likes of a Penn State, you know, other big time programs, you know, Michigan, you know, these other programs that are located in cold weather areas. So there's a couple things that are kind of in the way of, you know, program in the Northeast, you know, becoming a big power of sorts. And, you know, obviously, you know, the recruiting base, you know, it's not as fertile as it is down south, and that's just the honest truth.
Second question, pro football. In all of your years in the league, and let's make no mistake about it, you, my friend, were at the top of the game, Pro Bowl, big time, offensive lineman, Super Bowl, the whole bit. Who is the person that absolutely gave you the work the most? Who are you, oh, my God, I got to take on X today?
I'm gonna be very honest with you. I got more work in practice than I did probably in any game. My former teammate Richard Seymour, who I think should be in the Hall of Fame, going up against him in practice made my job easy in the games because he was, you know, this was a guy that's 6'6", 310 pounds, moved like a guy that was 270, strong, powerful, had a, you know, array of moves. And, you know, that was, we had some real wars in practice, man, and it just made games a lot easier. So that's the name I'm going to give you.
I like that. So I'm going to do two follow-up questions because we're being so tight and succinct with these answers, which is good. Back to college. What stadium did you go into where you're like, man, this is different. This is big time. This is intimidating. Whose program had the most intimidating environment?
I remember the first time I went to the Big House. You know, we played Michigan, man, and it was like it was a torrential downpour, and it was just something about, you know, playing at Michigan, man. It was, you know, Michigan was right at the top of his game, you know, nationally. Ton of talent, very good, you know, very good team. And we were a good team at the time. So just playing in front of 100+, man, it's a totally different animal because Boston College Stadium only seats like, you know, 50,000. So tack on another 50+ on top of that.
All right. And now the final follow-up back to the pros. You tell me who gave you the most work, but who was your idol? Like when you watch tape or even when you were a kid and you started to think, I want to be an NFL offensive lineman, who was it you wanted to be like?
Oh, man, there's a lot of guys, man. I got a name, Dermoni Dawson. How about that? He was a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Hall of Famer. That guy, man, and he reached out to me before I was drafted, you know, and gave me advice, you know, going into the draft, man. And, you know, I really, really looked up to him. So he was like my idol coming into the National Football League.
I like it. Damian Woody here on the Will Cain Show. All right, we'll do this somewhat quickly, even though it's a serious subject. I spent 30 minutes on Damian. Here's what I had to say. I said, I think NASCAR has the right to make its decision on the Confederate flag, and I think it was right to do so. My reasoning is this. I do believe, and I've said this before on First Take, Damian, not everyone who flies the Confederate flag is a racist, and not everyone who flies it is either a racist or stupid, even if most are, and I don't know what the percentage would be. But even if you had some other meaning attached to that flag that was devoid of ugly, you know, connections, you got to understand at some point the symbol, the flag has become for so, so many other people. And at that point, although I'm not one that says empathy should always lead the way, at that point on this one, empathy should lead the way. For the same reason I wouldn't wear a Confederate flag shirt anywhere, much less over to your house for a barbecue, I don't think NASCAR should allow it at its business. Your thoughts?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with, you know, the sentiments that you just said. I mean, that, you know, the Confederate flag, I actually spoke on this with Get Up this morning, man, where, you know, I grew up right outside of Richmond, Virginia, and that's NASCAR country. And I've attended, you know, a few NASCAR races at Richmond International Speedway. And you walk in and you just see all of these Confederate flags. And it just, you know, as a black man, made you feel like, am I even wanted here? Do they even want me around? So if you're NASCAR, what kind of business model is that where you just have, you know, this symbol that's discouraging people from even wanting to even attend your event? Is that good business? I mean, forget the empathy and the moral aspect, but is that a good business model if you're trying to expand, you know, a group of people to, you know, to welcome into your sport? So I just think from a moral standpoint, just from a business standpoint, it made too much sense for NASCAR to do away with that and be more welcoming to a wider swath of people.
All right. Damian Woody here on the Will Cain Show. All right, man. Always love talking to you, bud. Take care.
Yeah, you too, man.
Okay. All right, let's do it. Let's play a little game of Butthurt. Me and the boys coming up next on the Will Cain Show.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
This is Will Cain.
If you want a show that only tells you what you already believe, this is not the show for you. If you want a show to reinforce what you think you know, this is not the show for you.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Were you just getting into it, Bubba? What'd you jack it up for?
I didn't jack it up. I didn't jack it down.
Hmm.
I was writing something down and didn't have a chance to jack it down.
It was really coming in strong there for a second with our intro music.
Are you scared?
Don't get butt hurt.
I'm fine. I'm just asking, were you scared?
Calmer than you are. All right, let's play Butt Hurt. Mike A's joined us. It's Bubba, Nuno, Mike A, Pat, and myself. We do this every week. Who is most likely to get butt hurt? Mike's got the cards. Let's find out. Take it away, Mike.
All right. First card. Who is the most judgmental?
Ooh.
It was quite the commercial break for such a card.
There's three of us in the running.
I noticed you said us.
That's right.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
It is a little tough.
It is a very judgmental crew.
Okay. All right.
I don't
love my answer.
Yeah, neither do I.
No, me neither.
I don't even know.
3, 2, 1, Will.
No.
Wait. Okay, I didn't care. I was so far out ahead of everybody, clearly voting for myself, but then I couldn't tell what anybody else said.
So I heard Nuno say me. I said Nuno.
I didn't say you. I said Bubba. So you said yourself, Will. Pat said Mike A. I said Bubba. Mike said me. Bubba, who'd you say?
I just went with the default Pat.
So everyone got a vote.
Everybody got one vote.
Perfect.
And you're all right.
So none of us are judgmental then, right?
No, I think we're just all judgmental.
The three in the running, to my mind, were Bubba, Pat, and myself. I thought those were the three most judgmental. I definitely am judgmental, but I think that I don't hold it against you strongly. Like,
I'm definitely judgmental, but I'm usually right. So
that's right. So what are you going to do?
And I just don't like very many of you guys.
You know what, Nuno? I might be wrong because I might have taken it as judgmental as opposed to you just don't like anybody.
I think, Nuno, you voted for Mike?
I voted for Bubba.
No, Pat.
I voted for Bubba.
I voted for Mike.
I think Mike's the least judgmental of everybody.
Really? What,
you disagree with that? Obviously.
Yeah, maybe I've just worked with him more.
Yeah, I'd have voted Mike last on judgmental. All right, what do you got next, Mike?
Who is the most boring?
Oh, that's not nice.
You want a different card? Ever.
No, I'm ready.
Card? No, we're doing this. Yeah, we're doing this.
I'm ready.
Well, this is like judgmental. Listen to Nuno. I'm ready.
Wow. I got my answer.
This is like
judgmental. One ever.
You think it is too, Pat?
This is so easy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is the easiest question in the history of the game.
Who's the most...
I just want Pat to answer, to be honest with you.
Boring. Bubba and Mike, do you find it easy too?
I don't.
Not particularly, no. I'm still trying to think.
I don't know.
I'm down to two.
This is like judgmental to me. I don't think I can find one. I don't know. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Bubba.
Will.
Nuno.
Bubba.
Mike A.
Nuno.
Mike, you and I voted for ourselves as just we bailed on that one.
Well, I just figured when you're married and you have kids, you're boring, so.
I honestly don't think any of you guys are boring. Nuno flops around sometimes. You're like, I don't know where he is. In the middle of a sentence, sometimes you're like, I'm out. Whatever Nuno's talking about, I'm out. But when you get him riled up, he's really entertaining. And that usually happens in the pre-show meeting, right?
And he's got a fascinating commercial backstory. Breaks.
Yes. So, Pat, you are just a constant source of antagonizing everybody. So I can't really call you boring. You may be abrasive, but you're not boring. And Bubba's funniest, probably, you know? I don't think Mike A's boring either. I don't. Real quick, Nuno.
Bubba has a social life, though.
Nuno and Pat, you said it was easy. Who'd you guys vote for?
I voted for myself. I mean,
oh, you did.
I go home and watch network TV. Like,
it's true, he does.
CBS.
Well, when you say it like that, I guess it's pretty easy.
And Pat, who'd you vote for that's so easy?
Bubba. I just imagine Bubba leaving work and going home and sitting in a chair and just waiting until work starts the next day.
See, y'all were thinking about what our personal lives are outside of this. I was thinking about who you were, like your personalities.
It's an intricate game.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Who is most likely to be arrested?
Who? Interesting.
There's probably three on this list.
Most likely to be arrested.
Got it.
Okay, ready?
Sold.
Three, two, one. Pat.
Mike.
Nuno Pat. For what?
Well, because you're Mike, because you have to look at it this way, right? If we're all out and if something pops off, right? Like, Pat's going to hide. Will is probably the one that's going to start it, but he's going to kind of back away. Bubba is just going to be like, I'm not fighting. You're a bunch of idiots. I'm going home. And then it's like me and you, but you're going to do more damage. So you're going to be the one getting arrested.
Oh, see, I wasn't thinking about, I picked Nuno because I think Nuno's got like some tax evasion in his past that's coming at some point or something.
He's got some shady stuff coming around. Yeah,
the
I can see that, Pat.
I picked Pat because I didn't think he would like come down from the tree they want to cut down or something. And just
in his protest, he's on his whatever moment of.
I like it.
I picked Pat because he's young and he's an angry drunk, and that just adds
I
up.
I thought about
yes,
that.
Those are good.
I thought about the Babe Ruth angle.
Okay. Pat's just like, if you're doing the actuarial tables, being young and an angry drunk puts you in a high risk category for at some point being arrested.
I got some good cards for later, fellas.
All right, we're out of time now. All right. Yeah. That's good stuff. All right. Hey, Major League Baseball's negotiations have become a farce. They've become a joke. They've become a comedy. I'm going to tell you which specific comedy. Bad Santa. I'll tell you which scene next on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.